Good morning, everyone. It's a great word Whitney shared. And it's interesting, I'll be speaking on the lines of the same thing here. Let's pray. God, we open our hearts to you, Lord. We just pray, Father, that you would speak to us through your word, Father, and that it would quicken us, Lord. It would convict us, encourage us, build us to enter your rest. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. God created us to live and walk in his rest. So he created the whole creation. On the sixth day, he created man, and then he rested. And Adam was given work to do, but the very breath that he breathed came from God. The ground that created, that raised those plants and fruits came from God. So God wanted Adam to live and move in his presence, and God was going to sustain him. God was going to provide for him. He could experience everything that was good. Even though he worked out of rest. Everything that he had was given by God. And when Adam sinned, he lost that rest. Now, God is life, and by eating of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, Adam chose a life independent of God. And because God is life, a life independent of God was death. So Adam experienced spiritual death. Now, the first man had that opportunity to live and move and have his being in God, but chose a life independent of God. And the most prevalent sin in the world and in the church is living a life independent of God. And what happens is our soul finds rest only in God. And when we live a life independent of God, our soul is weary, tired, exhausted. We only experience peace, joy, and the fruit of the Spirit when we walk in the Spirit. We experience fear, frustration, anger, anxiety when we walk in the soul. Now, God sent another man, his son, Jesus Christ, and he lived a life the way Adam was supposed to live. Totally dependent on the Father, only wanted to do the will of God. And he is able to teach us how to enter the rest in this life. Because he was tempted in every way as we are tempted, and yet without sin, he can teach us how to enter that rest. So in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 to 30, Jesus said, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my load is light." If you notice, what part of you that he wants you to have rest? It's your soul. Whenever Jesus was troubled in this life, it was his soul that was troubled. In John chapter 12, verse 27, he says, "My soul has become troubled. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came out from heaven, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, Again, it was his soul that was troubled. So if you notice, when you feel heavy, when you feel anxious, you feel troubled, it is your soul. Because your soul cannot understand the things of God. Your soul only is designed for self-care. So whenever it's about me, myself, and I, that's when the burden comes. And that's why David says to his soul, "Why are you downcast, O my soul? Put your hope in God. Bless the Lord, O my soul." Because the soul is that part of you that doesn't understand the things of God. It understands natural things, earthly things. It understands relational things, but it does not understand the things of God. Jesus said when he was in Gethsemane, he says, "My soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep a watch with me." And then he says, "My Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will." Whenever Jesus' soul was troubled, he went to the Father. Now, Jesus is our example. When your soul is troubled, go to the Father. When David's soul was troubled, he went to God. It's okay to pour out your heart. It's okay to express how frustrated you feel or how upset you are. But you can pour it out to God. What did Jesus do? He did the same thing that he's telling us to do, and he wants us to learn from him. He surrendered to the Father's will. So even when the cup was hard to drink, he came to the Father. "If it's possible, just take it away from me, but not my will, but thy will be done." When we do our will, we are operating in the soul. When we do the Father's will, we are operating in the Spirit. So when Jesus took the cup, he operated in the Spirit. Now his soul was heavy. He wrestled with this whole thing. Because there was going to be the separation from God. There was going to be the wrath of God over him. But he ultimately surrendered to the will of God. Every time he wrestled with it, he said, "Father, let thy will be done." And you will find when you come to that place, whether it's finding a spouse, whether it's going through tough things at work, "God, this is hard for me, but your will be done." And when you surrender to his will, not to the outcome that you want, but to the outcome that God wants, you will find your soul rest. At every juncture in my life, I had to come to that place, "God, not my will, your will." And when I found that I surrendered to God's will, my soul entered rest. Our rest comes from God as we learn this principle from Jesus, who was, although he was God, he regarded not equality with God, but emptied himself, took on the form of a bond servant. A bond servant doesn't have a will. A bond servant only does what the master wants. He emptied himself, taking on the form of a bond servant, being made in the likeness of man, being found in the appearance of man. He humbled himself, becoming obedient to the point of death, even the death on the cross. Jesus often removed himself from people and went and fellowshiped with the Father. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7 says, "In the days of his flesh, he offered both prayers and supplication with loud crying and tears to the one who was able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his piety." If Jesus could not do life without coming to the Father, none of us can. The more independent life we live, the more miserable it'll get. But the more restful life we live, the more you'll experience joy and peace. And our rest comes from God. Did Adam have to work? Yes, he had to work, but he had to work out of rest. Did Jesus do his life apart from the Father? He says, apart from the Father, I can do nothing. And he said, just as the Father sent me, so I have sent you. So how does Jesus want you to live your life? Abiding in the vine, dependent on the Father. God is your provider. The very breath you breathe, the very breath I breathe, comes from God. If he says, Vivek, time is up, I'll stop breathing. If God takes care of the breath I breathe, he provides the job, he provides the ability to work, why can't I just rest in him? If there are deadlines, if there are, we are short-staffed, or if I have a situation in my marriage or in parenting, can I not come to God? I have noticed when I come to God, I find rest, I find wisdom, I find answers. When I try to do it on my own, I get frustrated. I feel the whole world is against me. If we let our souls govern our being, we will be restless. But if we are led by the Spirit, we will experience peace, joy. The fruit of the Spirit is only experienced when we surrender to God. This is why Jesus told his disciples in Matthew 16:24, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Deny himself, deny his soul. Take up his cross, be ready for anything, even death, and follow him. Follow in his footsteps of depending on the Father. We have a natural man, that is the soul. We have a spirit man, that's the spirit. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, but the natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit. They are foolishness to him. He cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. But he who is spiritual appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by none. For who has known the mind of God that he will instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. So if we put on the mind of Christ, and how can we put on the mind of Christ if we don't know Christ? How can we understand Christ? It's through the Word. When we read how Christ lived, when we read how God deals with things, and we have that understanding, and we align our thinking to God and his Word, that's when we put on the mind of Christ. When we fellowship together and hear the Word, understand the Word, see the benefits of the Word, and apply it, we start renewing our mind. And as we start renewing our mind, we start getting transformed. We need God's grace. God's grace is God's power to live a godly life. When Paul was struggling with a thorn in the flesh, he cried out to God, God, please take this away. And God said, no, my grace is sufficient, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. There are areas in my life I'm weak. There are areas in Deborah's life she's weak. We are all weak. We have weaknesses. Some have those areas, they have strength. We have weaknesses. How can we depend on God? We come to him. God, give me your grace. Give me your strength. Because when we are weak and we are aware of it, we can come to God and say, God, give me grace. What are we doing when we come to God? We are humbling ourselves. As we humble ourselves, we are unlocking the door for God's grace. So your weakness are not impediments. They are opportunity to lean on God. They are opportunity to experience God's grace. So if some of us are struggling with sin, come to God. Say, God, give me the grace. Give me the wisdom. Teach me how to overcome. If you're struggling with anything, even your job or your relationships, you have an opportunity to experience God's grace and God's power in that area. Just being aware of your weakness is not humility. A lot of people are aware of their weakness, but not all of them come to God to overcome it. So use your weakness as opportunity to come to God. Every situation you face, you can have the choice to live it independently or live it dependently on God. If we live in our own strength, we are choosing not to operate in the power of God. Humility is the key that unlocks the door for God's grace to operate in our lives. God gives grace to the humble. He resists the proud. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5 to 6, you younger men, likewise, be subject to your elders, and all of you clothe yourself in humility toward one another. For God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. James chapter 4, verse 6 to 7. But he gives greater grace. Therefore it says, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. The opposite of humility is pride. So humility bears fruit. You have experienced joy, peace, the power of God. Pride also bears fruit. You complain, you grumble, because you're not getting what you want when you want. Humility says, God, even though you slay me, I will follow you. God gave, God took it away. Praise be to his name. Though the fig tree does not bud, though the olive crop fails, though there are no grapes on the vine, no cattle in the stall, no sheep in the pen, yet I will rejoice. I will rejoice in God. That's what humility speaks. The Israelites are an example of proud people that did not enter his rest. They complained. They saw signs and wonders, yet they complained. Every crossroad, they complained. Philippians chapter 2, verse 14 to 16. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, so that you will prove yourself blameless and innocent, children of God, above reproach, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Among them you will appear as lights in the world. Israel grumbled and complained and never entered the rest. But we who are of faith can enter the rest. And what is faith? Faith is just dependence on God, on his character. That the good God who created everything, who did not spare his son, will take care of me. We have a high priest, Jesus, who has been tempted in every way as we are tempted. And he's understanding, he's compassionate. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2 to 3, and I'm just going to go to the last part. Therefore, since we have the great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but the one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. See, Jesus was humble. and he wants to teach us his way. And because Jesus was humble, he was full of grace. He was full of God's power. Grace is like a thermal that the eagles catch and they soar. The normal other birds, they have to flap their wings. They have to struggle to fly. But eagles fly without flapping their wings. In Isaiah 40, verse 31, yet those who wait on the Lord will renew strength. They will mount up on the wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. We can soar like eagles and fly effortlessly if we learn to live according to the will of God and by the power that God supplies. In Romans chapter 14, verse 17, it says, the kingdom of God is righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Spirit. Now, here's what we can do. The next week, if we experience no joy, no righteousness, no peace, it's an indicator that that moment we are operating in the soul. So our heart, our soul is like a dashboard of what we are operating under. If I don't have joy, if I don't have peace, if I'm not operating in righteousness, it's an indicator that that moment I'm listening to my soul and not listening to God's Spirit. All I have to do is not beat myself up and say, God, in this situation, I need your grace. I need your help. Can you please take over? See, God is not a God of condemnation. He wants to teach us. He's humble and gentle, and he wants to teach us how to live the life that he designed us to live. So if you have a tiring, exhausting day, come to him. Say, God, I am tired. I am exhausted. Can you please fill me with your joy? Give me your perspective in the situation. Open my eyes. Give me wisdom how to manage this work situation or this family situation. God, I don't know this health issue I'm having. I don't know how to deal with it. Can you please provide me some answers? Give me the healing. Give me the rest. When you come to God, your soul can enter that rest. Only those who are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. So the question we have to ask when we are troubled, am I being led by the Spirit or am I being led by my soul? If the fruit we bear is frustration, anger, complaining, grumbling, then the dashboard of our heart is indicating we are operating in the soul. Now we are all learning from God. We are not there yet. All we have to do is when the Holy Spirit convicts us of that, we switch gear and say, God, I'm sorry. There's so many times I apologize to my kids, my wife, when I'm operating in the soul. And it's okay to apologize. It's okay to humble yourself. It's okay to recognize that I'm operating in the soul. And as time progresses, you will operate less and less in the soul. Because you have now learned to be yoked with Jesus. You have now learned to walk in tandem with him. And he will teach you. And the best place to be is God, let your will be done. It brings so much rest and so much peace that we cannot experience without that. So my prayer for everyone is, Lord, teach us how to walk with you. Teach us, God, how to surrender everything, our desires, our dreams. As long as we are tethered to things and not tethered to God, we will have no rest. As long as we surrender to God, like Abraham was tethered to his son, the only son he had, at a really old age. And God said, lay it down. And he wrestled, but he surrendered. Jesus wrestled, and he surrendered. We will wrestle, but we will find rest in surrender. And what God gives at the end of surrender is more beautiful than what we can have if we keep holding on to things. I've learned to overcome sin by surrendering. I've learned to overcome fear by surrendering. I have learned to overcome anxiety by surrendering. I have walked into the unknowns because God told me to walk by surrendering. You will still have fears. You will still have anxiety. You will still be tempted by sin, but you will overcome all of it by surrendering. You cannot do it on your own. I could not speak in public before. I overcame it by surrendering. I never thought I would get married. I didn't know how marriage works because my family was very dysfunctional. I had to learn it by surrendering. I joined animation without any qualification. And I said, God, help me. He helped me in animation. He helped me work with difficult bosses. Now I'm working in automotive sector. I have no knowledge, but I have to surrender every day. Surrender. The more I surrender, the more I get to know God. See, if you are yoked with God, you will get to know him. If you are just reading the Bible and not yoked with him, you will have knowledge. You won't know him. The more you surrender, the more you yield. As the branch yields to the vine, the life of the vine flows through it, and the branch bears fruit. The more it surrenders, if my words abide in you, the more you will bear fruit. And if you bear little fruit, the Father will trim you so that you can bear much fruit. And it is the Father's will that you bear much fruit. So can we surrender as a kid? Yes, we can. If you have a trouble with your sibling, you can come to God. If you're not understanding why parents are disciplining, you can come to God. You can learn God at an early age by surrendering. If you have fears about school, about sports, or anything, nightmares. I used to have nightmares. I couldn't go to sleep. I came to God. I struggled with a lot of things. And in every struggle, I turned from my struggle to leaning on God. So I encourage you, even as you go into the next week, come to him. Like Whitney told the kids, you can come to God with everything. And you can seek God and his word. And his word will start renewing your mind and changing your mind. And then you will enter peace. So if you look at yourself, you will observe, like God spoke to Cain. He says, why has your countenance fallen? Our countenance reveals the condition of our heart. If we have joy, peace, guess who is ruling the heart? Christ. If we have anxiety, fear, guess who is ruling our heart? Our soul. So if we learn from just observing the dashboard of our heart, and then switch gear. Jesus' heart was troubled. His soul was troubled. What did Jesus do? He went to the Father. And that's our example. So let's go to the Father in every situation. Because he could do nothing without the Father. And he has sent us just as the Father sent him. So even if you have to witness, you don't know how to witness, go to the Father. He will give you wisdom. He'll give you words. That's all I had to share. Let's pray. God, I thank you, Father, for your word. I thank you, Father, for Jesus. Thank you, God, by your life you have taught us to depend on the Father. Lord, even as we learn to depend on him and grow in this dependence, even as we renew our mind from being self-centered to being the Word-centered. I pray, Father, you would transform each of us. And Lord, that we would experience your rest. Because this world is restless. There is no rest. They don't need another religion, another set of rules. They need to experience the fruit of the Spirit. And the only place where they're going to experience the fruit of the Spirit is us, Lord. I pray, Father, even as parents, Lord, that we would exhibit the fruit that our kids would want to grow in their own lives. Help us, God, in our weakness. We are weak. We don't have the power on our own ability to do what you want. But we have you. We have your Spirit. We have your Word. And we have your example. So, God, I just pray, Father, this coming week, we would lean on you, rest in you, and say, God, this is hard, but I can do it through Christ. It's no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in my flesh, I live it by the faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.